Well, this morning, we're continuing our walk through Mark, and we are in Mark chapter 2, verse 13, and I thank God for the worship. You know, these songs, When Heaven Came Down, man, is that cool or what? Just some creative stuff. Every now and then, I'll see a post on Facebook. We should bring back the hymnals. And I'm thinking, yeah, but think of all the trees we're saving. And I said that to someone other day. We'd have to have a hymnal about this high just to put all the songs in it. And sometimes our wishes are not practical. Even at Christmas, our wishes are not practical. And we have to be careful in how we walk out our faith before God. Sometimes we prioritize things that are secondary. Our hearts right with Him is primary. Amen? And keeping a rein on your heart is a full-time job. It's a full-time job. Listen to this. Mark chapter 2, verse 13. Once again, Jesus went outside beside the lake. A large crowd came with him, and he began to teach them. And as he walked along, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. And while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come to call, not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Lord, in the next few moments, I just ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. God, I thank you for this season. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you with new songs, to worship you, Lord, knowing your love, the gift of all gifts, to remember that. Thank you, Lord, for this season. Bless your word today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So he's in the mother-in-law's house, Peter's mother-in-law's house. He's been teaching, and he steps, and he starts walking along the lake. This is the lake that Peter, James, and John knew quite well. They fished it, you know, quite a bit. It's this lake that Jesus walks up to them and says, "Come follow me." And it becomes a pretty prominent feature in the ministry of Jesus. And he gets outside, he starts walking along the lake, and the crowd is following Jesus. They're following Jesus, and then the scripture says this, and he began to teach. You see, sometimes if you're not careful, you'll miss things that you need to catch, because Jesus' whole life, he was teaching. Not only the words he was speaking, but the acts of his life. The things that he does, the way he speaks, the way he reacts, who he pays attention to and who he tries to ignore. He's teaching the whole way. And probably one of the foremost lessons he teaches is why he comes. And why he comes to earth is important to everybody in this room. And we'll get to that here in a moment. But don't miss the details of Jesus' life are teaching us things we need to know. And he walked along, and he's taking a walk, and you know, every activity of Jesus has a purpose, and he finds Levi. Now, we know Levi as Matthew, who writes a gospel, And at the time, Levi or Matthew is a tax collector sitting by the beach, by the lake. And that doesn't mean much to us. But to them, it meant a whole lot. You see, tax collectors were considered the vilest of people. The vilest of people. And this is the way it worked. Caesar had said, I want to tax the people, and people would bid on franchises so that they would have the ability to tax a certain region. And once they got the franchise to a certain region, they could tax you anything they wanted, as long as Caesar got his money, and they could tax anything they wanted. Anything they wanted once they had the franchise. Everybody hated the tax collector. IRS.
I guess, I don't know.
They did. Because why? And so for a Jewish person to become a tax collector, it would mean they were excommunicated from the synagogue. They could no longer be a witness or a judge in court. I mean, they were rotten people. They were nasty people. And guess what? His whole family would be disgraced. But he would be wealthy. Because he could make a lot of money. I mean, you know, money means a lot to a lot of people. Huh? And it was. Yeah. So Levi, Matthew is sitting by the lake. You know what that means? I read one book, he said this. He's probably taxing every fish that comes out of the lake. Now, you may just brush over that just a little bit, but the truth of the matter is, Peter, James, and John knew Levi. They had met him. They had paid him a lot of money just to be fishermen. They had paid him. Can you imagine catching a load of fish and then thinking, Levi's at the beach? Before we can take it off the boat, we got to pay Levi this tax. Jesus walks along. Levi, come follow me. Did you feel that in Peter, James, and John's heart? What are you doing calling him? Do you know what he has done to us? Do you know how he has ripped us off? Do you know what he does to this village? And you called him? Church is a wonderful place until somebody shows up that's done you wrong.
Okay, Pastor Larry.
And here Peter, James, and John know it. And you know what Levi does? He gets up and he follows Jesus. He left everything and he followed Jesus. You know what's interesting in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 3, he lists all the apostles, all the disciples that are following Jesus, and Mark's not in the list. Seems weird, doesn't it? I don't think he was the favorite disciple. I don't think that. Matthew. And look, Jesus saw him. I'm glad Jesus sees us. That's a blessing and scary. Do you understand that? It's a blessing and it's also scary. He sees us. And then he follows Jesus. And to follow Jesus is still a requirement of the faith. When he called you might not have been by a sea, collecting taxes, but you were somewhere when God did something inside of you that awakened something supernatural and spiritual, where you realized you needed Jesus, and no matter where you were and what you were doing, you still had to answer the call to follow Him. And if you can't follow Jesus, you have trouble following Jesus. In John chapter 12, it says this, in verse 26, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. I think it's interesting that he talks about service and following. So it's not enough just to do for Jesus. You've got to learn to follow him. It's not enough to do all the things. It's not enough to engage your talents. You have to follow him. And sometimes where he leads us is not easy. It's uncomfortable. And then the question becomes, what does it require to follow Jesus? What does it require to follow Jesus? First of all, I believe you have to believe in the person of Jesus to follow him. That means this, you've got to trust him. There's a lot of people who don't trust Jesus, and therefore they don't make good followers. They're always questioning Jesus because when he says, don't do this, why not? Why? How many know there's always a why to God's not? And we need to know that. There's nothing wrong with asking that question, but it's the attitude of the heart by which you ask the question that determines everything. Yeah. You see, people fail in obedience to Jesus because they would rather trust themselves than the Creator. I don't know about you, but I want to be second. I want him to be first. And when you put him first, you trust him more than you trust yourself. You trust him more than you trust yourself. The second thing I think you need is this. You've got to learn to walk in submission. Walk in humility to be a follower of Jesus, or you're never going to pick up towels and wash people's feet. You're never going to be the servant God wants you to be. You're never going to be able to follow his word when he speaks a word into your life. You're never, unless you know what it is to walk humbly before him, walk in submission to him. Listen, the circumstances that you may find yourself in sometimes are uncomfortable. I don't want to be here. But notice what the scripture says. Where my servant is, I will be. I love that because you know what? That means this. When God directs you to be somewhere you don't want to be, he's already been there and is there and will help you in the midst of. But if you're not walking submissive and trusting and in humility before him, you'll think you're there based on your own talents, your own abilities. And that means failure is on the horizon because you can't do what he calls you to do. You must learn to submit and humble yourself. The third thing I think that if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you've got to be disciplined. Discipline. The whole word disciple comes from the word discipline. You can't be a disciple of the Lord unless you're first disciplined in the little things of life. You know what I mean? And can I tell you, little things mean a whole lot. And it always surprises me at the little things that mean a big difference in people's lives. Last Saturday night, we did the presentation of Jingle in the City. Was not Jingle in the City off the chain good? Woo! It was awesome. And on Sunday morning, we did this parade of veterans. Oh, I just loved it. It was awesome. Give the hand to the veterans, man. It was awesome. So Sunday night, you know, we're down here. Saturday night, we're doing the thing. And I was in charge of Rowan and Everett because Mandy had to be somewhere. And Ben was running sound. And they were with me. And they're laying under that front row, on that front pew, just looking up at everybody. And I got up to close the service. And Rowan and Everett came right and stood right next to me. And at that point, I had to make a decision to set them back down or just let them be. And I let them be. So I'm talking about Jesus, trying to make it real spiritual. And everybody's watching Rowan and Everett over here. And Everett's pulling on the speaker over here. And Rowan's trying to stop him because he's the big brother, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't know what they were doing because I wasn't going to turn around and look. But I knew what they were doing was distracting. So I come to church this morning, right? And someone tells me, hey, I had a guest here last Saturday night. And you know what? They're thinking about coming to our church. Really? So I'm thinking they're going to say because of all the talent. I'm thinking they're going to say because of just this, the show, the people, the greeters, the ushers, and all that kind of stuff. And the father says that. The daddy says this. You know, I just really like the way Pastor didn't even, it just, the kids just, and he didn't do anything. He just did, those kids messing around with those speakers. I think I'm going to come to this church. Let me tell you something. Be real. Be real. Jesus loves authenticity. And we have to learn to be disciplined and all that. But listen, you don't have to control every detail. Can I tell you something? You can't control every detail. You just have to roll with the flow and go with the punches and allow Jesus to work and supernaturally do things that you could never do. And who would ever think my grandkids playing with a speaker will make somebody say, I think I want to go to that church. It doesn't make sense. But God. So you and I must learn to be disciplined. And here's the other things. You must understand there will be sacrifices for the follower of Jesus. You're going to have to make some sacrifices. You ask the disciples of Jesus' day, they made sacrifices. You ask Paul, you ask all the, they made sacrifices. You and I, listen to me, Christianity is not something for sissies.
That's right.
And I know that's probably not politically correct.
Right,
listen to me. You have to be determined to follow Jesus.
Amen.
It's not easy to always follow Jesus. It's not always easy to obey him. It's not always, let me tell you, on the other side of that, there's a great reward. There's the smile of heaven over your life. And one day you're going to stand before him and you're going to celebrate because he's going to celebrate you and put a crown on your head. And you're going to be able to cast it at his feet with all the saints from all the ages. Don't be afraid to be a follower of Jesus. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Listen to it. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. The illustration that he's doing is this. Paul is walking in such a way. Anybody ever walked on the beach and you tried to step in somebody else's sand print from their feet? Oh, some of you need to be a child again. I didn't say that right, did I? Linda's looking at me cross-eyed. Listen, this is what he's saying. This is what Paul is saying. Step in my steps as I follow Jesus. Step in my steps as I follow Jesus. That's the way I want to walk. I want to walk in such a way that if you step in my steps, we'll get to the same place. That's the intensity by which we follow. Knowing this, that following the Lord has a great responsibility, not only for us, but for our family, for our children, our grandchildren, and people who work with us and live next door to us. Following Jesus means something because people are watching us. Amen? Paul was a tremendous leader. And what made him a great leader is that he first learned to follow. And through the centuries, there have been always people trying to develop new fandangle ways to follow Jesus. Let me tell you, it's hard to follow Jesus. It's not always easy. But if you can learn to follow Jesus, you'll change the destiny of the people who follow you. Amen? Make it a priority to follow him. How do you do that? The Word of God. Someone testified Wednesday night. We had a Wednesday night of testimony. It was awesome. And this one lady stood up and said, you know, I purposed at the beginning of last year to read the Word of God every day of my life in 2019. And I did it. Is that not cool? Huh? Hallelujah. It was just awesome. Listen, make it a priority for the Word of God. Listen, the other thing that you got to do is make a priority to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Learn to heed the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The other thing you have to do is listen, put some spiritual leaders in your life. You need a mentor. You need someone that when they speak into you, you know they're not doing it for their own benefit. They want what's best for you. Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, this is what I know. Following will always translate into obedience to the Word of God. Yeah. Help me. So where are the disciples? They're at Levi's house, eating a big dinner. This is the guy they paid to fish. They're at the house, eating. And the Pharisees come up to the disciples. So that leads me to believe this. The disciples are not fully engaged in the meal. You ever been somewhere where you wish you were fishing? You ever been somewhere and you wish you were doing something else? Well, you ever been so? I just imagine here they are in Levi's house, not fully engaged in all that's going on. You know, they're just kind of enduring. Jesus got us here. And here come the Pharisees, because the Pharisees kind of identify with the disciples at this moment because, you know, they're not fully engaged anywhere because, you know, Levi's the tax collector. Levi's the vicious, ugly guy who's collected all the money. And so they come to the disciples. Hey, why does he eat with these people? And every one of us in this room ought to thank the Lord he came to eat with vile people, with sinners, with people that were broken, people who weren't whole, people who understood the gravity of it's an amazing thing that God invites us to sit at his table. Here's the question: why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus replied in verse 17, on hearing this, Jesus said unto them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor. Isn't that beautiful? He came for the sick. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Wow. Who needs a doctor? It's the person that's sick. The healthy don't need us. No, Jesus' mission. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. I've come to those who need to know that God loves them. God so loved the world. Say it with me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that a beautiful thing that while you were yet a sinner, Christ loved you enough to come and forsake heaven and became a baby in the dirt? Wow. You know, Joseph is having a hard time because Mary turned up pregnant and he don't know what to do and he's just wrestling, and then an angel shows up. Matthew 1:22, it says this, talking about Mary. Mary, she will give birth to a son. Joseph is hearing this from an angel. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah! Why is he Jesus? Because Jesus is the word in the Greek, is it also means Joshua, which means deliverer. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our deliverer. He's the amazing one who came to do one thing: rescue you from your sin, because you couldn't do it on yourself, for yourself. The church couldn't do it. The priest couldn't do it. The court couldn't do it. The judges couldn't do it. The law couldn't do it. Listen to me. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why he came. That's why he came. And the only reason he came was to rescue you from your sin.
That's awesome, Pastor Ray.
Yes, it is. It is awesome. Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1. I need the worship team up here if you would, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15 says this. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. We're talking about Paul here. We're talking about Paul, who wrote a third of the New Testament. We're talking about Paul, an amazing man of God. Listen to this. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Hallelujah. Listen, God made a promise. His name shall be called Jesus because he will deliver his people from their sins. I'm glad I know what it is to be delivered from my sins. You know what that means? No more shame. No more condemnation. No more, the weight, the bearing of all the things you've done wrong, all the things you just wish you could do a little better. Listen to me. We are free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There's something beautiful about what Jesus came to give us. He came to give us what nobody else could give us, and that is freedom. Freedom from our sins. Freedom. Freedom. And somehow in the midst of that, he invites us to be a part of his family. Glory to God. I no longer walk in a strange and weary place. I walk in the canopy of his kingdom. And I know this kingdom shall never end. One day I'm going to walk through a door. I'm going to walk through the grave, but it's just the door into the eternal life he's prepared for us. What a hope we have in him. What a joy. And what makes all that happen? A little baby. God coming and becoming flesh. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Would you just thank him for saving you right now? Would you thank him for coming?